Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District in New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve is down in Hobbs today talking to us through the magic of the internet. Steve, how are things in Hobbs today?
Well, they're hot as usual, and the oil field economy is still running pretty strong. So right now, things are okay in Hobbs.
Good. Good to hear. I understand the President Biden's coming to visit us here in New Mexico. Why do you suppose he's doing that?
Well, we made comment in the Albuquerque Journal article that came out this week forecasting that visit, that he's coming to encourage Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham to speed up her desire to kill the oil and gas industry. The oil and gas industry, of course, puts about 45 cents out of every tax dollar into Santa Fe. And so when you're talking about killing that industry, you're not only talking about killing jobs that pay very well to people here in the state, but also talking about the tax base that supports our teachers, our law enforcement, our judicial system. Our tax base supports everything that the government pays for, and that 45% of that comes from oil and gas. Where in the world they could make up that difference? They have no idea. And so that's why he's coming to town, to encourage her to continue her efforts to kill the oil and gas industry. The governor's spokeswoman, Carolyn Sweeney, put out a statement that says they're proud of the educational investment, cradle to career, she calls it. I say that we're last in education and first in exporting our kids to the states where they can get good jobs. So even if the education system were working perfectly in New Mexico, which again, we're 51st out of all 50 states in the District of Columbia, we still would not be able to keep the students. So we'll spend $200,000 per student, and each one that leaves the state to make a better economy in some other state is taking that investment with them. And so shame on us for, number one, not educating our kids. Number two, not actually creating the jobs in the industries here, which would attract them to stay. When you get into your business life, when you get into your job, you don't want just a job. You want a career. You want something where you can progress and move up the ladder. Your income will increase, but also your responsibility. That's what life is made about, and you're just not able to get that here in New Mexico, because this government, run by Democrats for the last 90 years, runs out the businesses that would stay here and make tremendous economies for New Mexico. We have all sorts of things that should attract companies here, but it's just too difficult to do business inside the state of New Mexico with the regulations that are put in place. And so when Joe Biden announces that he's coming to town to visit, to push his agenda, number one, he's absolutely tone deaf if he's in here pushing the agenda that says kill the oil and gas industry. But number two, he's going to tout the Inflation Reduction Act. Now, that's where he really needs to pause and just start talking to average New Mexicans, because they're being eaten up with inflation. And if his big bill was actually going to reduce it, it would make life easier for New Mexicans right now. But the truth is, his inflation reduction spent billions of dollars that he had to print in order to get the bill passed and funded. When you print money, what you do is make the money that people have in their hands worth less. If you create it out of thin air, then what people are working to earn is certainly not going to be valued as greatly. And that's what's happening. That's what's causing the inflation. And so all in all, I think the visit is poorly timed. I think that his message is going to be wrong for New Mexico. And I think that it's going to actually hurt the Democrat chances in this coming election for him to be here touting all the things he's done when people can see clearly that he hasn't done a thing about it.
I've seen in other states where he's been pushing what they're calling Bidenomics, people are not impressed. They're not believing it. In real life, what he's saying is happening isn't happening to the individual person.
Yeah, he's just making stuff up. And so when people see that often enough from a leader, they tend to lose confidence in them. And I think this president has lost the confidence of the American people. The polls show that he's at all-time low in popularity, and that's because people are struggling. They hear him saying one thing and they feel another thing in their pocketbook, and they just start shrugging him off. And I think that's going to be the effect of his visit here. You know, when Trump was in office, he began to cut the regulations. That's what caused businesses to be able to survive and to thrive. Joe Biden has reinstituted a lot of those regulations that were cut by President Trump. And as a result, businesses are really struggling to compete worldwide, but they're struggling to stay in business here in America.
He said he cut 8 regulations for every new one.
Yeah, that makes sense. I remember the first visit he made to the Capitol. Again, the White House is about a mile down the road from the Capitol, and so it's always a big deal, motorcade and everything. And so the Republicans were gathered downstairs from the chamber where the votes are held, and he came in there and began to talk immediately that he had already cut like 1,300 regulations, and that was just in his first month or two. He hit the ground running harder than I've ever seen any president moving, and it was all very effective moving. My chief of staff went over and started working very high on the administration and the resource area. That was one area that we focused on when I was in Congress. And so he was in the Department of Interior, very high in that, working for the secretary. And so he was giving input into the president, and the president was taking advice from people who had been living the problem. Our office was fighting the regulatory agencies. We had constant fights with the Forest Service, the BLM, the Department of Interior, with the commission that oversees the groundwater and the streams for the U.S. And so we had a lot of input, and again, in constant battle with the bureaucrats who didn't care what was happening to people. They wanted to implement their agenda. Again, that's what people refer to as the deep state. The bureaucrats are never elected. They're never visible. Very rarely are their names known to the public. But they are far more effective at hurting Americans' lives than what the representatives are at being able to protect them from the bureaucrats. So be aware of what the deep means. The same thing as the shadow state. Again, they work out of the shadows. Very rarely are their names known. And so we constantly gave the names of these public officials in New Mexico working for the agencies. It would infuriate them that I would put their name in print and tell what they are doing to hurt people's lives. But I think we were doing the right thing. And it still should be the practice of any representative that's going to try to defend Americans against the government. And our founding fathers were afraid of a government that became too strong. And this government is actually way too strong under either Republican or Democrat presidents. And so I think it's up to elected representatives in Congress and the Senate to be the defender of the people from a government that is very powerful and has no concern for the way it tramples rights.
Since you mentioned President Trump, I've heard he has spent $40 million in legal fees fighting all these accusations. Would the Justice Department come after someone like this handyman that supposedly President Trump asked to delete the video from the security tapes? Like there's a VCR in the back room and you just go pull the tape out. Doesn't work that way. And I'm sure the former president knows that. But regardless, would they go to a guy like this handyman and say, if you don't find us something on Trump, we're going to, say, have the IRS audit you for the last 10 years or go through your record? I mean, is that something that our government would do?
Yeah, they will bring you in and interrogate you. You'll have to hire a lawyer to be there when they talk to you. They can do almost anything. That was exactly the problem with General Flynn. You remember he was one of the top people in the White House, and the agencies started coming after him. They bankrupted him, and then they announced that they were going after his son. That's when he said, oh, wait, I'll plead guilty. It was only under the duress of having them bankrupt his family members that General Flynn said, okay, I'll plead guilty. When word came out and it got public that what they were doing was illegal and certainly they were fabricating evidence against his son, then he tried to retract that guilty plea. And they said, no, you can't do that. There's no going back. Of course, if the Biden administration wanted to plead guilty and then change their plea, well, that's okay. You can do that. And we saw that just recently with Hunter Biden. He to plead guilty, and all of a sudden the judge threw out that, and suddenly he's changed his tune and says, now I want to plead not guilty. So it's amazing how the law is different and the rules interpret differently for one party and the other party.
Isn't this whole thing with Hunter Biden kind of a waste? Not that it shouldn't be done, but if they find him guilty, wouldn't his father just pardon him?
Well, his father has said that he would not pardon him. Again, if you watch Joe Biden through the years and through the decades, nothing ever says can be locked down. He will tell you one thing today and do a different thing hearing tomorrow. So I suspect that he would pardon him. But the investigation is going on in three different committees in Washington, and they're getting ever closer to the president. They have transcripts. They have recorded calls. They have eyewitnesses who talked to the president. At that point, the vice president and his son, just a couple of days ago, they had some sort of information that when Hunter would get on the phone with these people, he'd have his father get on and just be listening, you know. And so you definitely get the idea that there was a lot of influence peddling going on. And again, that's against the law, but that doesn't seem to bother the president.
The Republican Party of New Mexico received a bomb threat at its headquarters in Albuquerque last week. Steve Pierce and I will talk about that and more next on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, the Republican Party of New Mexico headquarters in Albuquerque had a bomb threat last week. Tell us what happened there.
Last Friday, a call came in, and the person on the other end of the line said that he was going to bomb the headquarters, and something like all those people at the headquarters could go to hell with Trump. That's a pretty serious thing to start threatening to kill people, which is what this person did. The name showed up, I think, on the caller ID, and the phone number definitely was there. And all of that was turned over to the police. But, you know, we've had vandalism at our headquarters two or three different times, and nothing ever happens. And since there's no threat of prosecution, then people just will go ahead and threaten. What I worry about is that when you threaten often enough, there's always the tendency long term that you'll escalate and eventually follow through on those threats. And that's what I worry about. But the police responded very quickly. They came over and had the staff evacuate while they looked for a bomb and did their investigation. I think that our staff is just top of the line. They're just three people that work there, and they dedicate their lives to making a better future for New Mexico. There are people who can disagree with our plans, but that should never result in a bomb threat, and shame on the people who would do that.
And I know you've come out on both sides of that when there have been bad actors. We had a conservative a while back who was shooting at Democrat houses.
Yeah, totally uncalled for. Again, it doesn't matter if it's conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican, or independent. You never take violence as a response to the political discussions that go on in the country. You know, the political debate is very powerful and positive. Debate should bring the best points from both sides of the argument, and eventually it will tug the decision to the middle, because there are things on both sides that I think have merit. And so the idea that debate brings us to the middle has always been one of the most powerful things about this republic that our founding fathers created. You know, the left, the Democrats, are trying to just shut that debate up. They don't want people, they don't want Republicans on college campuses. They shout down people who are standing outside the abortion clinics with their signs. They hate the idea that our ideas are out there. And so they retaliate in anger, they retaliate in threats and defacing property, whatever it is. And that's just super unfortunate, because the First Amendment, the ability to speak, and to have the power of the press and have the power to worship, those are things that are very strong in the American fabric, and I think create the strong country that we have lived in for generations. And we threaten the very foundation of that republic when we take away those constitutional rights that are guaranteed to us.
I wanted to ask you about this VA appropriations bill, because the Democrats are all voting against funding the VA.
Yeah, it's a shame. The bill that was passed by Republicans in the House goes to the Senate, but it's the largest budget ever for the VA, $320 billion. And the Democrats hid under the cover that the Republicans just put in amendments that were offensive. The truth is that the amendments were prohibiting these biased and controversial programs that the Biden administration was sticking into the VA, things having to do with the transgender stuff, things having to do with abortion, abortions at taxpayer expense in the VA. The VA should not be the place to get abortions. The VA should be taking care of veterans who have served and have medical problems. And so I think that the Republican amendments were well placed. So for the Democrats to hide behind and say we can't vote for the veterans because of these amendments, the chance that those are going to stay in through the whole process with the Senate are actually very small. They could have voted for them with the caveat that, okay, if we don't get these things to our liking, then we can vote against the final bill. But I think that that party line vote that occurred on the VA is one of the big shames of this current Congress. And of course, all the New Mexico Democrat representatives voted against the bill, and I think they should be held accountable. You know, the veterans are one of the most overlooked populations in the entire country. They serve without ever complaining, and the country makes a promise that they will take care of the veterans' health care throughout their life. And this appropriation bill is what does that.
Dr. James T. Runyon is a senior pastor at the First Baptist Church of Las Lunas, New Mexico. As you would expect, he teaches Christian values and suggests his parishioners vote for people who believe as they do. Doctor, welcome to Inside New Mexico.
Thank you for having me.
We want to talk about your church in Las Lunas, New Mexico, and you're also a city councilman. There are Christian values that people have in their minds, but yet vote for people who don't have those values, and you tend to call that out.
I believe there's, let's just say, maybe there's three types of Christians, and I don't like the word Christian anymore, almost. I think it's going to come back in vogue, because I think Christians are now becoming separated out once again, but therefore, while everybody was a Christian, therefore it meant nothing. I usually tend to like the term Christ follower. But a Christian is either one who's following the Lord and doing what the Lord's called him to do, or they're lazy, or when it comes down to it, they just are ignorant of what's going on in the world around them. And I would think the minority is the average Christian who is doing what he's called to do. I believe as a Christian person, we are called to impose God's moral and ethical standards on the world around us. We are called to do that. That's a responsibility we have. We are not to be enveloped by the world. We are in this world and not of it. I'm not to see a line drawn on the sand and then I back up as the line continues to move. I'm to hold my ground. And yet the average Christian is so happy just putting up with whatever the world throws, or they just want to go home and not think about it. And that's a disappointment, because we are called to more. We're called to stand up, and there's plenty of biblical standards to show that.
Would you come out for a specific candidate, or just let your parishioners decide who has the values that we have and then vote for that person?
Understanding in the church that I have, there are people on both sides. Now, when it comes down to it, my goal is not to throw out a name. I want them to be intelligent enough to make their own decision with reference to maybe the parameters that God's word shows. I am to be against abortion. I am to value life. I'm to be against transgenderism. God has designed people with a beautiful future and a hope. I can't say that someone who's putting these things out are good. So in the church that I'm in, I will, if there is an example in God's word, I'm not going to change a sermon because of it necessarily. If something's really come and we need to understand what our role is in government, I may have two or three sermons on it, but it's going to be biblically based. So I may bring up a point, something that's happening in Santa Fe in a sermon. If it applies, I'm not going to contrive God's word. But the church knows at the end of the service, if there's something coming out of Santa Fe that an average Christian should stand up against, they're going to hear it. These people know generally the big terms. They know when I'm speaking about one side versus the other. I would hope they're intelligent enough. I don't know what they're thinking. I would hope they're intelligent enough.
You mentioned abortion. That's a good example where we have a lot of people in New Mexico who are of a religion that opposes abortion and yet will vote for candidates who are for it, even up to the day of birth. So that must be quite a conflict for someone who has true beliefs.
I don't think it should be a conflict. Maybe it is. It shouldn't be. This should be easy. And that's the frustration for a simple guy like me. I was an engineer before I was a pastor. So I tend to be pretty black and white. God's word should mean something or it doesn't. I can't pick and choose what I like and what I don't like. It either says what it says and I have to get on board with it, or I walk away from it. And I've told plenty of people that. I said, if you have trouble with God's word in any point, then you don't believe what God has said, because he wrote this down for us to understand who he is and what he expects out of us. And so I don't understand why an average Christian person would have this dichotomy of how do I vote? Well, oh my goodness, I'm wringing my hands. This ought to be very, very simple. And yet evidently it's not. We've got entire denominations or belief systems that are saying vote one way because they'll help you in your retirement. Vote one way, and which is all a lie, but they say these things in simplicity. I'm always surprised how our friends in national government, and I love our Catholic friends. I've got some very good Catholic friends, and I know some priests. I love my priest friends, but they can excommunicate people. They've got the power to control national government by saying, Biden, you can't do this stuff, or the main senators, or the main representatives.
Didn't they do that to Nancy Pelosi?
They sure didn't stay with it very long.
No.
They didn't. They could very easily say, you do not follow our belief system, because that's part of being a Catholic. I love our Catholic friends because of some of those things that they can really enforce to ensure that people live a better life, but they're not following through. I don't have that in the Southern Baptist Church. I'm just hoping people want to hear the message I say on a Sunday morning, and many times they don't. They might leave.
If folks are liking your message today, of course, if they live in Los Lunas, they can go to the church. Where is it?
914 Los Lentes Road Southeast.
Okay.
Again, it's been there since 1937. I'm blessed to be in a church that's busy and active, and anybody's welcome.
Is there a way to hear your message if I'm listening to you in Carlsbad?
Sure. You can get on the website.
Okay. Dr. James T. Runyon, thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Ranchers in northern New Mexico are beginning to stray from the Democrat Party. Steve Pierce and I will discuss why that is next on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
This is Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, in northern New Mexico, we're seeing that a lot of our Hispanic friends are switching parties. They're finding that they, too, are being left behind by this progressive Democrat Party that's taken over the state.
Well, that's a fact that has been occurring for several years now because the progressives act like that the Hispanic voters don't really care. I think they take them for granted. Russell Contreras, he's actually the guy consider a friend. We got to know each other. We rarely approached things from the same political perspective, but he used to write here in New Mexico. He still writes for Axiom, and he did a wonderful article talking about these shifts that go on in the population, and he specifically points to the northern Hispanic ranchers and farmers who have been longstanding supporters of the Democrat Party, but now they're saying that the policies put into place by the left, by the progressives, by the Democrat progressives in office hurt their way of life. Many of the things that are being put in are pushed by the environmental groups and take away their right to graze cows in the northern forest areas, for instance, the right to cut pulpwood, cut down dead trees, carry them out and burn that wood during the wintertime to heat their homes for the families. And the environmentalists hate that sort of use of public lands. And so they have routinely forced these northern ranchers and farmers out of any of the public lands. And shame on them for doing that, because many times these small ranchers and farmers up north don't have large herds, maybe 10 or 12 cows. And that cutting of wood, and it's dead wood, it has to be approved by the Forest Service, and yet they're crowded out of that. And so it is causing a shift in the way that people perceive the two parties. Nationwide, 39% of Hispanic voters voted for Republicans last November. That compares to just 25% in 2018. So you take a look at 4 years, we get a 14-point shift to the positive. 39% of Hispanic voters nationwide, but even in Rio Riba County, which is there around Espanola, a huge northern Hispanic county, and Axios did a survey of 40,000 voters there. They found that in 1992, 22% supported Republicans. By 1996, that number had increased, and then even into 2016, 34% voted for Trump. They would point to issues like the Meadow Jumping Mouse, which has more importance to the federal government than ranchers' way of life. They also pointed to the Mexican gray wolf, which is killing ranchers' cows out in the western part of the state. They're spreading across the rest of the state. When these wolves are in Arizona and they kill too many cows, they move them over to New Mexico. It's like we're the holding pen for the hardcore wolves that are going to kill cows and horses. Again, these are issues that I fought the full time I was in Congress. We didn't win them all the time, but we were able to stall them out. And I think that northern ranchers, both Hispanic and Anglo, any other demographic that is there, find that the regulations being input by the Biden administration are choking off their way of life. So sure, they're going to consider voting for someone else. And so this Russell Contreras article in Axiom is one I would encourage you to read. It's got good points on both sides. Again, he approaches things with good balance. That's the reason that, although I don't think we agreed politically, that I admired his work and admire him as a person. So I draw you to that article.
And that's a good point, that we can still be friends with people that disagree with us politically.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, yes. Almost all the people who work in the media, I've got pretty good relationships with many of them. And it is always that we're overcoming our differences to be friendly. All it takes is a kind word. And all I ask from them is that they can quote everything they want to. Just don't put words in my mouth. If you think I said something, call me and let me listen to the tape and I can explain it, or we'll walk our way through it. And they have honored that through the years. And I salute them for that, because the press is a very difficult way to make a living. You get criticized no matter what you do. And so I shout it out to thank you for the people who work hard at it and try to put out unbiased work.
Thank you, Steve. And if you have been listening to us on the radio and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can do that several ways. One is to check out the website. It's newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page, and what used to be Twitter is now X. The handle is @NewMexicoGOP. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you can call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill, and we look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.